This episode is brought to you by the amazing people who support me on Patreon. A big shout out to the multi-tier patrons, Terrency, St. Peaches, Earl B, and Christina N. For the tao-tier patrons, Brizzo, Diwatahan, Mona, and Luna, Philip, Undead, Roman, Jordan, and Viren A. And lastly, a special thanks to Wonkers and Carlucy. Your support means the world to me and is the driving force behind Tabi Tabi Podcast, so thank you so very much for being part of this journey. And if you, my dear listeners, would like to join these amazing patrons, head over to patreon.com/tabitabipod. For as little as $2 or $6, you can enjoy exclusive perks and help keep Tabi Tabi Podcast going strong. Once again, it's patreon.com/tabitabipod. See you there. Mabuhay and welcome to Tabi Tabi Podcast, a show where we explore the fascinating and often mysterious folklore of the Philippines. I am your host, Ethan. Hi, and thanks for joining me today. Happy New Year! Tabi Tabi Podcast is back and ready to share more Philippine folklore with you. I hope the new year greeted you well and that you are all doing all right. Thank you so much for coming back and making Tabi Tabi Podcast a part of your week. Now, before I proceed with today's episode, I would just like to warn everyone that the topic today contains NSFW, body horror, and graphic content. So if you're easily triggered by these, please don't listen to this episode. You can skip it. Listener's discretion is advised. So, settle in, my dear listeners, and let's begin. Witches have been a historical presence for centuries, with representations ranging from good to evil. Every country, culture, or folklore has its own interpretation of witches. In the context of the Philippines, I specifically want to highlight Filipino witches, particularly those associated with malevolent intent. Filipino witches practice black magic and rituals with different cultural connotations depending on the ethnic groups involved. Their definition differs significantly from Western concepts, as each ethnic group in the Philippines has its own definitions and customs. Filipino shamans affiliated with a native Filipino folk religion often counter cure or lift curses and magical practices. They specialize in malevolent empathy magic linked to indigenous peoples in the Filipino region. Witchcraft predates Spanish colonization in the Philippines, with specific regions like Siquijor, Cebu, Davao, Tararola, West Samar, and Sorsogon being centers. Witchcraft is acknowledged and practiced throughout the Philippines, particularly in Samar and Leyte. Various names exist for witches or sorcerers within Philippine ethnic groups, many of which carry negative connotations and are consequently translated as witch or hag in English sources. These designations contain a diverse range of individuals with distinct occupations and cultural connotations contingent upon the specific ethnic group to which they belong. It is crucial to emphasize that these entities differ significantly from the Western concept of a witch. Some examples of these terms include for Bicol, Paracaraw, Ilocano, Managtanim, Managinulod, or Manamay, for Ivatan, Mamkaw, or Manulib, for Kapampangan, Mangkukusim, or Mangkukusino, for Pangasinan, Mananim or Magibawanin. For Tagalog, Mangkukulam, Manggagaway, Maygaling or Hukluban. For Visayan, Dalagangan, Dunganon, Dalongdongan, Busalian, Mambabarang, Mamalarang, Barangan, Usikan, Paktolan, Sigbinan, Manughiwit, Mamumuyag, at Mga Awog. And lastly, for Hiligaynon, it's Manog Hiwit. For today's episode, though, we are going to focus on one of the scariest type of witches in the Philippine folklore, the Mambabarang. The Mambabarangs are ordinary human beings with black magic, They are described as witches or sorcerers who are native to Visayas. The Visayas, also known as the Visayan Islands, is one of the three main geographical divisions of the Philippines, along with Luzon and Mindanao. Situated in the central part of the archipelago, it encompasses multiple islands, primarily surrounding the Visayan Sea. The Visayan people are the predominant inhabitants. Major islands include Panay, Negros, Cebu, Bohol, Leyte, and Samar. The region may also include the provinces of Palawan, Romblon, and Masbate, which have populations identifying as Visayan and have languages more closely related to other Visayan languages than to Luzon's major languages. The Visayas are administratively divided into three regions, the Western Visayas, Central Visayas, and Eastern Visayas. Now, the Mambabarang is an individual who practices barang, a form of witchcraft deeply ingrained in Filipino folklore. In the book Witchcraft Filipino Style by Need Anima, barang is described as the most feared manifestation of witchcraft, reminding those in the vicinity of the witch to offer due respect to avoid falling victim to their dark arts. The very term barang is derived from the name of the insect itself. Barang, in essence, is a noun that characterizes the malignant sorcery involving familiar spirits. These familiars typically manifest as a swarm of destructive insects, with carnivorous beetles being the primary manifestation of barang. The Mambabarang, then, is the practitioner who possesses the ability to command and harness the power of these insects. The modus operandi of the Mambabarang involves infesting the bodies of their targets with these nasty insects, causing suffering and, in some cases, leading to the unfortunate demise of the afflicted individuals. The Mambabarang, according to folklore, is depicted as a practitioner who keeps a swarm of carnivorous beetles in a bottle or a section of bamboo, meticulously nurturing them with ginger root. When the decision is made to unleash this dark art or these creatures or its power upon a person they despise, the Mambabarang engages in a prayer ritual where whispered instructions are conveyed to the beetles, specifying the targeted victim. The harmful insects are then set free to seek out the victim, gaining access through various physical openings such as the nose, mouth, ears, anus, or any dermal breaks like open sores and wounds. Once infiltrated, the victim experiences the effects of the insect invasion, embodying symptoms corresponding to the point of entry. Hemorrhoids if through the anus, earaches if through the ears, and other various discomforts. The resulting sickness is believed to resist conventional medical treatments, revealing its true nature only upon the victim's demise when flying insects emerge from internal openings. Additionally, folklore suggests that the insects strike while the victim is asleep, burrowing into the skin and laying eggs in hard-to-reach parts of the body. As the larvae hatch, they spread beneath the victim's skin, consuming flesh and causing intense pain. Fully mature barangs eventually emerge from open wounds, depositing eggs in the flesh, while other small insects such as flies infest the body. Without proper treatment, the infection can prove fatal. A unique aspect of barang involves a blood-stained thread. You see, the success or failure of the mission is indicated by the color of the thread upon the insect's return. A red thread signifies a successful execution, while a black thread indicates a failed mission. If unsuccessful, the Mambabarang persists, sending additional swarms until the sorcerer is certain that the victim has been wounded. Moving on, Another method used by the Mambabarang for eliminating or punishing enemies who have caused them harm or insulted them is detailed in the controversial Povedano manuscript of 1578, authored by Diego Povedano. According to this manuscript, the Mambabarang uses a distinctive technique involving insects with hard skins, resembling small houseflies, which are housed in a bamboo tube. When faced with a significant insult or a harboring dislike towards an individual, the Mambabarang selects one of these insects from the bamboo tube. Before sending it toward their target, they bind the insect with their own hair. Once the bind is done, the insect flies towards its target. And upon reaching the victim, the insect, through magical means, is induced into the entrails of the individual. And what happens then? Well, once the insect is inside, it settles itself there. And during high tide, the victim's stomach expands dramatically, while it shrinks during low tide. And to make sure that this method is successful, sometimes the Mambabarang writes the name of their victim on a piece of paper placed inside the bamboo tube. If the insect consumes the paper, it is believed that the insects are ready to heed the commands of its owner and attack the victim. Other times, the Mambabarang engages in a certain ritual where they dip a branch from the kalumangay plant into the bamboo tube while uttering the words, "Those who will obey my command may come up." Insects that climb the branch are then placed on a porcelain plate. The next step involves tying a white thread on the seventh leg of the insect, during which the sorcerer announces the victim's name, address, and description, and specifies which body parts the insect should inflict injury upon. The Mambabarang ends the ritual by instructing the insects to return the next day at the exact time and place from where they departed for their assigned task. Now, the practice of placing insects in bamboo, as used by the Mambabarang, is similar to the concept referred to as pamaham, as detailed in an article that I found on pagista.com titled 10 Darkest Facts About Mambabarang, Most Evil Filipino Witches, posted in 2022. The pamaham, typically crafted from bamboo, features a small container or joint containing a spider, a centipede, and a roach. However, what may seem like ordinary insects within the pamaham are in fact malevolent spirits in disguise. These entities assume the appearance of insects but through various means, such as swallowing or crushing with saliva, infiltrates a person's body, wreaking havoc within. Before the pamaham is employed, it is crucial to feed the insects living inside it. This feeding ritual serves as a vital precursor to activating the pamaham for spiritual purposes or to invoke specific magical effects. In this complex interplay between the material and the spiritual, the pamaham becomes a vessel not just for insects, but for powerful energies and entities that the Mambabarang wields to achieve their intended outcomes. That's not all. The Mambabarang also uses another method to attack its victims or defeat its enemies by using a doll. In this method, the Mambabarang places the personal belongings of the targeted individual within the doll and recites chants that are intended to harm the spirit of the enemy or their victim. This ritual takes place within the confines of the pamaham where the doll is positioned. And the Mambabarang commands the insects inside the pamaham to devour it. However, in this case, the doll is transformed into more than a mere object. It becomes the enemy in disguise, serving as a conduit for a nasty spiritual attack. The insects, urged by the mambabarang, burrow deep into the doll's head and body, causing for more harm than a conventional attack. As the insects infiltrate the doll, they carry the malevolent energy deeper into the victim's body. The consequences are startling, of course, as the victims develop burning, red spots on their skin, followed by a sudden eruption of boils that can grow rapidly. And when these boils burst, a swarm of bugs is released, turning the victim's entire skin into an infestation. And without intervention from a powerful manggagamot or another mambabarang, the victim remains in a risky state. So in this case, instead of the insects going after the victims themselves, the mambabarang uses the doll as proxy of the victim. And so they would just let the insects burrow deep inside the doll's body and head, and eventually it will affect the real person as well. So this is another method. Now, legend has it that the discovery of a white centipede within one's home is a telltale sign of a curse inflicted by barangan or imambabarang. In such instances, albularios, traditional healers, are summoned to counteract the curse. The Aswang Project also provides an insight into countering a barang. So to counteract barang sorcery, according to Aswang Project, a mananambal or healer initiates the process by extracting all the insects from the victim's body, all of the insects. These insects are then carefully wrapped in black cloth and placed in a pot containing water, combined with the sap from specific trees such as badyang, alipata, gusuguso, and sorosoro, along with 7 pieces of balikbalim tree. It's crucial to note that the sap must be collected from the east side of the plant's trees. The pot is covered with the leaves from the gabi plant and boiled using branches from balikbalik, mangungkong, kamonay, and balanti as fuel. As the fuels are consumed, the barang is believed to return to the sorcerer, marking the completion of the anti-barang ritual. To end this episode, I came across a study titled Existence of Mambabarang and How It Affects the People Living in Flores, Catmon, Cebu, authored by Kumainking Adriel Dan P., Luanya Lenny M., and Villaver Jeannie Ann A. This research delves into the experiences of Mila Concha, a victim of barang or kulam in Flores, Catmon, Cebu. Mila Concha, a 40-year-old housewife and mother of 4, resided in Flores, Catmon, Cebu. In this study, it aims to shed light on Mila's encounter with kulam and explores its impact on both her life and the community in Flores. Obviously, I won't read the entire study, but I'll attempt to provide a summary of Mila's experience as outlined in the research. Maria, a housewife with a carpenter husband who was often away, develops a close relationship with her neighbor Mila. However, their neighbors find Maria's behavior strange and unconvincing, especially after a small dispute with another neighbor, Cristina Pinares. Despite Maria's rude actions, Mila remains her only friend. Now, when Mila's son falls ill, Maria refuses to lend money, revealing her selfish nature. Mila turns to Cristina for help, straining her friendship with Maria. As Mila distances herself from Maria to repay Cristina for her help, Maria becomes furious and curses Mila, claiming that she betrayed her and that she will vanish from the world. Months later, Mila experiences strange symptoms, seeking medical help but finding no answers. And this time she thought she'd consult a folk healer. Consulting a folk healer reveals Mila is under witchcraft or kulam or barang, with insects emerging from her body during the healing process. Despite the severity, the folk healer manages to treat her. Realizing Maria is likely behind the curse, Mila investigates Maria's mysterious background. She discovers that Maria is a mangkukulam or a mambabarang and exposes her to the community. Maria, shamed by rumors, relocates to Naga. And today, the people of Flores, Catmon, Cebu are unaware of Maria's whereabouts, relieved that she no longer harmed them. Regardless of whether one believes in the power of the barang or the mamba barang, treating others with compassion is a universal value that everyone must have. Choosing to be respectful and considerate of others' feelings can help avoid unintentional offense and lessen potential problems. So, be kind to others and be safe. Or else, you might just suffer the mamba barang's wrath. And that concludes the 15th episode of the podcast about the scary mamba barang. I hope you enjoyed listening and learned something new. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Or you can always become a patron member and get cool benefits. Just head over to patreon.com/tabitabipod, or you can always donate via GCash. The info will be posted in the description. Once again, thank you so much to my patrons and to you, my dear listeners. Thank you for continuously supporting the podcast. Please stay safe and a happy new year to all. This has been Ethan, and thanks for listening to Tabi Tabi Podcast. Join me next time to discuss more Philippine creatures. Bye!